Good evening. While we stand, can we stretch our hands to the Lord and just thank Him? Father, we're so grateful for tonight. Lord, we're so grateful for Your presence. Lord, we thank You that we carried Your presence into this building. Because without us people, it's an empty building. But because You dwell inside of us, we carry Your presence wherever where we are. And tonight we're here in Times Square Church. After the church, we're gonna go home, and that's gonna be our place where You dwell. Tomorrow we're gonna go to work, and we're gonna bring You with us. Oh God, we thank You that You are with us and You will never leave us nor forsake us. You are an amazing God. And for that reason, we give You a shout of praise because You're faithful. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good evening, you may be seated. I want to take this moment to thank Pastor Tim and Sydney for having me come from time to time and just share the Word of God. I want to thank Haley, who is here as well, and my oldest daughter. 10 years ago, she was dedicated to the Lord on this stage. And I did not realize, but she reminded me, says, Daddy, I've never been to this church in service. I was like, are you sure? And he says, of course. I only heard that I was dedicated here 10 years ago, but because I'm pastoring there, Sundays is very hard to travel. But tonight, we got her with us, and we're so grateful, Eliana, that you're here with us. I also have my sister, my only sister, and her husband, and a few of my nephews. We had to take a 15-passenger van to drive all together tonight here. And for a moment, I was just thinking, man, I think I'm feeling what my father felt when he was driving a big van, because we are a family of 15, 12 boys, one girl, and one dad, and one mom. That's very important. So, of course, I got the experience to feel what my dad felt, but it's not easy. I'll stick to three, I guess. I have on my heart to share the Word of God, and I've entitled this message, Jesus Disclosing His Private Prayer. Jesus Disclosing His Private Prayer. Often we talk about our prayer and how we need to pray more and how we need to press through and how we need to seek the Lord, and all of those things are true. But if you're like me, from time to time, you get discouraged. I'm not praying enough. I'm not seeking the Lord enough. I'm not reading enough. I'm not enough. But thank God that He is enough. Hallelujah. But tonight, I want to focus at the prayers of Jesus, not ours, because we're so limited, but at the prayers of Jesus that are so important and life-changing. Before feeding the hungry crowds, Jesus prayed. He thanked the Lord for the food. Jesus prayed before revealing truth to the lowly. He prayed for those that were broken. Before raising Lazarus from the dead, He also prayed. And one of the prayers was, Father, I thank You that You always hear me. Praying for His followers, being called the prayer of the high priest. He also was praying at the Last Supper, knowing what's gonna happen, and He was praying. Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus had a very open and honest prayer. Father, is there another way to accomplish the salvation of Pavel, of Mary, of John? Is there another way? Can this cup pass me? And we can accomplish salvation somehow through other means. And He was in distress. Jesus was praying. Jesus was praying while hanging on the cross for me and for you, sinners, for His enemy. He was not cursing at them, but He was praying for them. He was praying for me and for you, that through the finished work of the cross, me and you can have access to heaven. And we thank God for those prayers. But did you know that there are a lot of prayers that before I never really paid attention to because it repeats itself. And Jesus went aside and he prayed and he continues with the story. There are so many more prayers in the Word of God that the Word of God does not even mention what he was praying. Those are just a few prayers. And they're very short prayers. We like to think that if our prayers are long, like the Pharisees, God will hear us. But Jesus' prayer, they were very short, but filled with faith, filled with confidence, knowing who his Father is. But there are so many prayers that he prayed that the Bible does not share the details of them. I did not arrive. I'm still learning and growing, even as a pastor, of course. And my prayer is, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me. Even today, as I'm thinking and pondering upon this word, I say, God, help me for my life, not to find myself being a preacher of the gospel, teaching something that I'm struggling to live. Give me the grace where I fail. Give me the grace where I'm falling short. And the Lord is always there to help. Praise be to God. When I began to think and read more on Jesus' prayers life, I saw how practical and natural prayer was for Jesus. We all can learn from it. And tonight we can all say, Jesus, would you teach me how to do this? Because I don't know. Sometimes I'm screaming. Sometimes I'm sweating. I'm doing all of these things. But I pray that through it all, you would teach me how to pray. And at the end of the day, this is a moment when we commune with our Heavenly Father, when we talk with him, when we open up before him. Let us look together at some of the moments when he prayed and what was he praying and how the stories are speaking to us tonight. When Jesus prayed, others wanted to learn from him. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says this, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I love the idea that he says that when he finished praying, the disciples asked him, would you teach us? In different words, he did not interrupt. They did not interrupt Jesus when he was praying. We are to have moments in our life, uninterrupted, where we can cry out to the Lord. I did not bother Jesus. They did not bother Jesus, but they waited till he was finished. And the desire of their heart was this, teach me how to pray. During that time, there were followers of John the Baptist. They had plenty of Pharisees around the corners. The Bible says that they love to dress up. They love to be very loud. And they love to lift their hands and pray long prayers. But for some reason, those prayers were turning people away. But there was something about Jesus' prayer that the disciples stopped in what they were doing. And they were in awe of the prayer that Jesus was praying. And at the end of that prayer, this desire came in their hearts. Oh, teacher, would you teach me how to pray? Your prayer is different than the Pharisees. Your prayer is different than the experience we had. Your prayer is not filled with condemnation. Your prayer, it's a sincere prayer to your Father. Would you teach me to have the same relationship as you have with your Father? And Jesus responded to them and taught them the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. The whole theology is built in this prayer that came from the mouth of Jesus himself. Until this day, for years and years, this year I'll be 40 years old. My parents taught me this prayer when I was a little boy growing up. And I'm teaching this to my family. And we pray this prayer in Russian language. We gather together in the morning, in the evening with our family on our knees. And we recite the Lord's Prayer because it's important when we go through struggles that we can go back to say, oh, I have a Father in heaven. I have a Father who hears my voice. I have a Father who cares for me. I have a Father who washes me, cleanses, and forgives my sin, and reminds me that I am to forgive my neighbor's sin. I have a Father who loves me, and I have a Father who covers me. I have a Father that I can cry out to Him to say, let your kingdom come. I have a Father who understands what I'm going through. And tonight I desire for your will to be done over my ambition, my desire, and my will. I bow down to your will. And I say with my voice, I cry out to you and say, you're not only my Savior, but you are my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything that I do in my life, you are my Lord. I submit to you under your hand, under your authority, and I'm asking you to guide my life. The Bible does not say what was he praying, but his disciples wanted to pray like Jesus prayed. And I want that as well in my life. I don't know what kind of prayer, I don't know the words he was saying, but he was saying something with confidence, knowing who his Father is. Hallelujah. If they wanted to learn from Jesus to pray, I want also to learn from Jesus to pray. Jesus, teach me to pray, not for the wrong reasons, but for the right reasons, simply because you love me and I love you. Hallelujah. I'm sharing my children when we pray. I'm asking them one by one, so they can pray. This is how I was taught. It doesn't mean that it's the correct way to do it. This is just what my parents taught, and I'm teaching my children. I say, Eliana, would you lead us in prayer? Linnea, would you lead us in prayer now? Ashton, would you lead us in prayer? And he says, can you help me? And of course we do. And then Haley prays, and I pray. But I teach them one thing, that we don't come just asking, God, give me this, give me that. We come into his presence with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We come in his presence with thanksgiving because we have every reason to thank him. He doesn't owe us anything. Hallelujah. He doesn't owe me and you anything. In his grace and his mercy, he came from heaven down on this earth, died on a cross, and saved me and you. And if that was it, it's enough to thank him, to praise him, that our eternity is in heaven with him. Praise be to God. Like the disciples, I would want to be a fly on that wall to listen. Jesus, what are you saying there? Jesus took every opportunity to pray. It was natural for him. Luke chapter 3 verse 21 and down says this, now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. Jesus, focus. You're getting baptized. Close your nose, right? Put your hands a certain way. Right now is a time to close your mouth, not to open to pray. This is what we would think. But Jesus takes the opportunity. It's amazing. He takes the opportunity even when he's getting baptized to pray. And the Bible says, when he began to pray, the heaven opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus, what kind of a prayer were you praying? It's not fair. Can you tell us the secret? What were you saying that the heavens were opened? The Holy Spirit came down. A voice came down that you are my beloved son. Why are you not telling us the magic in words, if I can put it that way? But it was a sincere prayer from Jesus to his Father. And I want my prayers to say, God, teach me to pray that when I pray, the heavens would be open, that I would be filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will remind me that I am your son. that you will remind us that we are the church of Jesus Christ, that we are the bride of Christ, that you are the daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Oh God, teach us how to come into your presence, opening our mouth and praying to you that your heaven will be opened. Hallelujah. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we have every right to come into his presence. Praise be to God. I remember when I was about 7, 8 years old, we were living in a village. The roads were dusty and rocky. But we would go in the evening after working on a farm. We would go in the evening to pray. And people were gathering in the living rooms at home. We did not have AC. We did not have comfort. We had wooden benches, a lot of wooden benches. And this is how people would gather together in the village. They would pray. And I remember those moments. And they were nice. They would say, we were going to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as children, we were hungry for God. And in that moment, I remember going to one of the homes. We had the real thing, the real deal. We had the real deal, I'm telling you. We didn't even know what that meant. We were filthy, at times smelling, but we loved the Lord and we were hungry for the Lord. And I remember when we would just lift our hands, there was no magic to it. We would just lift our hands and say, God, fill us with the Holy Spirit. We need you. We're being ridiculed. We're being pushed around as believers in the village. We need the power of God to stand in the generation that we live. I did not know theology, but I knew that heaven is open, that I can cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah. And in a moment, all of a sudden, God's presence came into that room. God filled me with the power of the Holy Spirit. He changed and transformed my life. I was walking home. I felt like I'm flying home. I felt like a feather. I felt like a brand new believer in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need heaven to be open today. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be reminded that me and you are the children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, would you open the heaven? Oh God, would you fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm not talking about barking and rolling and doing all kinds of stuff. I'm talking about a transformed life. I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that our lives will resemble the presence of God. That's what I'm talking about. Victory over sin, victory over depression, victory over the problems in our life. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm a reminder, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I want to learn from Jesus to pray in a way that again, in my life, even at 4 years old, that the heavens will be opened. That I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, not once in a while, but daily. Oh God, help us. That you'll remind us that we are the children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's teaching us that our prayer must come from a sincere heart. There's no tricks to this. Our prayer has come from a sincere heart. There's no magic to it. We have to come the way we are. He knows it all. He just desires to hear our voice. When he asked Adam, where are you? Do you think God did not know where Adam was? Oh, I'm hiding. Duh, I know that. But why are you there? And even when you're hiding, I still desire to talk to you. Oh, God knows everything. But he still desires for me and for you to open our mouth and to talk with him. To talk of what we're going through, what we're feeling, the troubles that we're facing, the addictions that we're facing, the marriages that are broken, the children that are astray. God desires to hear our voice, to say that I am interested to hear you. I am interested. Come sincerely before me, and I'll open the heaven. I'll pour out my spirit, and I'll remind you that you are mine. Jesus prayed regularly. He had a discipline in prayer. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12, and now says this, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will you cleanse me? And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for the proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad. Let's pay attention right here. And a great crowd gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. Now it's a perfect moment to bring the cameras. Jesus, now is the perfect moment to continue and to open up a healing ministry. Now it's a perfect moment for you to be known. But he, meaning Jesus, withdrew to a desolate place and went to pray. What are you doing right now? Crowds gathered around you. This is the moment when you can become popular. But Jesus knew, I cannot touch the glory. I cannot touch the glory. I cannot just go and go and go. I need to get aside to pray. My brothers and my sisters, how many ministries today, how many of us are guilty of that? The moment something works, instead of running to prayer and depending upon our Lord, right away our thoughts is how we can fundraise and support and open up a ministry and do the lights and the smoke and everything going on. And ultimately we get involved on our own strength. But God says, no, in that moment you run aside. I taught you how to do that. You go aside when people want to elevate you. When people want motion, when people want things, you go aside and hide in my presence and pray. And again, it doesn't say what he was praying. Maybe he was praying, oh, Father, remind me of the reason why I came to this earth. Yes, I can heal the sick. I can give sight to the blind. But ultimately, I came for the cross. Would you keep me focused? I don't know. But is it possible? Is it possible that he prayed those prayers? Before Jesus walked on the water, he prayed. In Matthew 14, 23, it says this. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. In John 6, 15, it says this. But before then, Jesus is feeding 5,000 people. A miracle has happened. Everybody's fed. Everybody has food. And verse 15 of John 6 says this. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus says, here I am. I want to be king, right? No, no, no. In that moment, Jesus says, I'm going to withdraw. He withdrew again to the mountain by himself, and he was praying. In that moment where we would be tempted to touch the glory, in that moment when it was the perfect moment for him to be like, da-da, here I am, use me, let the news know about me, what I'm doing here. I did a miracle. I just fed 5,000 people. It's a perfect opportunity to be known. But Jesus says no to that. No to popularity. No to clicks. No to a gospel that's pleasing everybody. But he's saying, I came for a mission, and nothing will take my focus away. I came for the cross, and I better keep focus. What do we do when people applaud us and want to elevate us because they are impressed of our gifts? What is our response? Maybe he was praying for his fathers to give him strength not to divert from his mission. And tonight, maybe one of the prayers, of sincere prayers, to be, God, help me not to divert from the mission you have called me. And not to seek to please the world, but help me to seek to please you. Verse 16, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark and Jesus had not yet come to them because he was busy praying. The sea became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Is it possible that Jesus was praying for his disciples to say, fill them with peace that surpasses all understanding, not to be fearful of the storms in life? I pray, O Lord, as I'm going to appear to them in the middle of the storm, that I'm not going to add to their storm, but I'm going to be the solution in their storm. Is it possible that he was praying for that? Mark chapter 6, verse 45 and down. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. Oh, Jesus, it's not fair. How many times I just read that he went away to pray and then it doesn't say what he was praying. Jesus, what were you praying? Jesus prayed before choosing his 12 disciples, before making decisions. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and down. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray. And all night, he continued in prayer to God. And when they came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 who he named apostles. Before making decisions in his life, Jesus prayed. How much more me and you need to pray before we make decisions in life? I don't know what he was praying in that moment. But all night, he was in communion with his Father. It's so important who your friends are. It's so important who we surround ourselves with. It's so important not to have friendship with the world. It's so important where are the places we hang out with. Jesus prayed all night before he chose close friends that he called disciples. And me and you are to learn from Jesus to say, oh God, I pray that you would teach me how to choose my friends, the people that surround me, that they can build me up, not destroy me. Jesus prayed before Peter had the revelation and confessed him as the Christ. In Luke chapter 9 verse 18 says this, now it happened that he, meaning Jesus, was praying alone. The disciples were with him. He was praying alone and the disciples were with him. Just catch that. Jesus is praying, the disciples are with him. And then he continues and he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? And of course, everybody has an opinion when Jesus asks a question. But when Jesus says, would you pray with me? We fall asleep. This is our nature. When we want to give our opinion to Jesus, we're right there, we're awake. I'm going to give you the opinion. You're this, you're John the Baptist, you're the prophet, you're Moses, you're Elijah, right? But when Jesus says, would you pray? Right? But then Jesus turns to Peter and he asks him a personal question. But who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus responds to him, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But who? My Father who is in heaven. Is it possible that Jesus is just giving a small glimpse of what he was praying all night? Is it possible that Jesus in prayer says, oh Father, I know you. I know who you are in my life. And I pray that the same revelation would be imparted, especially to Peter, because he will need it. Is it possible? The Bible doesn't say that that's what he was praying. But is it possible that he's fighting for Peter? Because he knew that later on, in days to come, Peter will need this revelation to know who Jesus is. Is it possible that all night, while the disciples are looking at him, what he's doing, Jesus is laboring in prayer, "Oh, Father, reveal yourself to Peter. Reveal yourself to Peter. Reveal your love to him. Reveal to him that I am the Savior. Reveal to him that I am the Messiah. Reveal to him," because he's going to need this in a few days. When he's going to be challenged, he's going to need this. Because without a revelation from above, people perish. Is it possible that that's what Jesus was praying? And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And tonight I pray that the revelation of the Holy Spirit will be opened up to me and to you, that Jesus Christ is your hope, that Jesus Christ is your Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the solution to everything we face in life, that Jesus Christ can give you the strength and give you the ability to walk in victory. Hallelujah. Can it be that he was praying for his father to give Peter that revelation? And tonight is my prayer that through the word of God, God will give us a revelation of his love. After miracles took place, Jesus prayed. And of course, before these verses, Jesus brought healing, restoration. A lot of things were happening. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 35 and down says this, "And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark." And I love that the leadership of the church is a praying leadership. Tuesday through Friday, they wake up, they have a conference call, the elders and the pastors, and they're praying for the needs of people. They're praying for you. They're praying for God's presence, and this has been done for years and years. Thank God that there are people that have the ability and the strength to wake up in the morning and pray. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him. In different words, don't you know where he's at by now? He's praying. He's praying. And said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." If somebody would have told me that, I would be like, "I'll be right there. Goodbye, Jesus. I'm gone. I'm going because people are waiting for me." But that did not move Jesus. He knew that having a communion with his Father is the most important thing in his life, because that's what empowers him to do what he does during the day. And he said to them, "Let us go to the next town." "Jesus, there are people right here waiting." "No, I already went here, but there is a need in the next town. Let's go to the next town. Let's go to the next town, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "That is why I came into this world." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Can it be that he was praying for the next town where he was planning to go? Disciples were so preoccupied that there's a crowd waiting right here. Jesus is being moved in the spirit and says, no, we're going to go to the next town. It's so important to be moved in the spirit, not in the flesh. The flesh will tell you there's a crowd waiting. The spirit will tell you there is a need in the next town. There is a need in the next town. At this time, as we're going to closing, if the worship team can come, please. In prayer, we can be transformed. It's the story of Jesus at the Transfiguration Mountain. In Luke chapter 9, verse 29 and down says this, "And as he," meaning Jesus, "was praying," again, "Jesus, can you tell us what you're praying? Because of course all of these things are happening, but we don't know what you're praying. But as he was praying, The appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. My brothers and my sisters, in prayer, God transforms me and you. The Bible says that as he was praying, his appearance was altered. In different words, he changed. Light shone upon him. And it was noticeable even to the disciples. And also in that prayer, they were strengthening Jesus, reminding him that you're so close to the cross. You can't give up now. In this prayer, Jesus is being prepared for Gethsemane. In this prayer, Jesus is being prepared for the cross. My brothers and my sister, God, I believe on purpose, did not wrote all the prayers. You know why? Because it's not by repetition, it's by relationship. It's not by magic words, but it's by the relationship. And that's why I believe that in prayer, we get transformed. I thank God for that. I thank God for that, that when I come in prayer, when I'm upset, when I am mad, when I want to give up, when I want to run, I come in prayer, all of a sudden, the heaven is opened. The Holy Spirit fills my heart, transforms me, and reminds me that I belong to Him. In prayer, not only He transforms my life and my heart and my thinking, not only He renews my mind, not only He cleanses me, not only He transforms me into a new person, but through prayer He's also preparing us for the things ahead. We do not know what's ahead of us. We do not know what's ahead of this nation. We do not know what's ahead for New York City, but God knows. And when we come in prayer, God prepares His church for what is to come, to stand in victory, in power, to overcome by the power of the cross. In prayer, I'm reminded of the stories of Pastor David Wilkerson and Pastor Carter. As Pastor Carter had this vision of what is to come in 2011. When 9/11 happened, months before, the Lord spoke to Pastor Carter and says, prepare the church. Some of you might have been here. I just heard stories. When you would come to the service and everything was canceled, every ministry was canceled, and you could hear a pin drop. And the presence of God was so strong because God spoke to Pastor Carter, prepare the church for what is to come. And months later, 9/11 happened. And this church, with other churches, they were right open, where people came and found food, healing, transformation, and salvation. It came through prayer. It came through prayer. That God can again and again prepare us and speak to our hearts for what is to come and prepare us for what is to come. For me and you not to be cowards, but to be empowered and to be ready for every good work. Hallelujah. 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 In prayer. In prayer. Oh God, would you help us? Now, as I mentioned, that there are so many prayers that Jesus prayed that are not disclosed, but there is one, to the best of my knowledge, there is one prayer that He disclosed in the Word of God. There is a story where Jesus discloses what He was praying in one of the nights, in one of the evenings, early in the morning. There is a story that Jesus discloses to say, this is what I was praying for. Jesus opens up about His private prayer life and gives us a window of what He was praying. Right before He disclosed what was He praying for, He's having communion with His disciples. It's a great moment like we had tonight. And next thing you know, there is fighting between the disciples. Who is the greater in God's kingdom? They're moved by the flesh. Yes, even after communion. They're filled with the flesh, fighting for positions. But Jesus from the side looks at all of this and he sees Peter, maybe filled with his boldness. God, if everybody will deny you, I'm not gonna deny you. I'm gonna fight for you. I'm willing even to die for you. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I'm praying. No, he did not say I'm praying. He said this, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, in different words, God is warning there will be a season in your life because you will be so weak, you might go astray. But when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. Oh God, thank you that you have opened up to us through the word of God one of the prayers that you were praying in secret. You did not open all of them to us, but you have opened up that one of those nights, one of those long hours, you were praying for the revelation of who God is to Peter because you knew he's gonna need it. One of these nights you were praying for Peter. Oh God, I pray that you will strengthen him, that his faith will not be shattered because he will need it in the days to come. And my brothers and my sisters, we might go through trouble. We might go through circumstances in life. We might go through difficulty in life. We might battle sin. We might battle pain. We might battle breakups. And through this journey, we can get anxious and our faith can be tested. But this evening, the word of God reminds us that Jesus, on the right hand of the Father, he is still interceding for me and for you. Hallelujah! 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 And what is he interceding? Oh Father, I pray that Pavel's faith will not be crushed. Oh, I pray for John. I pray for Mary. I pray for Lucas. And I pray for all those that believed in me, that their faith will not go weary. Because the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Son of God has come to give us life and life in abundance. Hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. That Jesus Christ is still interceding for me and for you. Even in heaven, he's continuing to do what he did in the late hours, praying for Peter and now praying for the church to finish victorious. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And that's why I love in the New Testament now, as we are born again believers, through the power of the cross and through new covenant, the heaven is open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no trick to this. We just come bold into his presence and the heaven is open. And the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the days of Pentecost. He's being poured out today all over the world. He's looking for thirsty souls. He's looking for thirsty hearts. Like I was thirsty when I was about 8 years old. Oh God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And he's reminding me and you tonight that you are my son in whom I am well pleased. Not because you have performed well, not because you have done well, but because you are in Jesus. And everything what Jesus has, you have. And everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me and to you. Hallelujah. 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 Would you stand with me tonight? I'm reminded of the story of Solomon when he built the temple and he dedicated the temple to the Lord. The Bible says that he bowed down, lifted up his eyes to the Lord, lifted up his voice and his hands to the Lord. And he began to pray and say, oh God, whenever one of your people are going to sin and they're not going to have the strength and the ability to come into the temple, but if they only will look towards this temple, hear them from heaven and answer their prayer, forgive their sin and heal their land. When you're gonna bring a punishment on them because of their wickedness and you're not gonna send rain and they're gonna call upon your name, and look towards this temple. Hear them and send rain. Oh, if there are going to be people that are going to be sick, like many of you online tonight that are sick, and they're not going to have the strength and the ability to come to the temple, but from whatever where they are, if they're going to look towards you, towards this temple, hear them from heaven and heal them. Whenever they're going to be in battles and they're going to be losing the battles of life, they'll remember about the temple in Jerusalem and they'll look towards this temple. Hear them. Daniel, when he was taken in captivity, the temple was destroyed. But he knew the power of prayer. He opened up the windows 3 times a day towards Jerusalem where the temple was. Only where a few rocks maybe were there because it was destroyed. But he was still praying because he knew God hears us. Deliver us from this captivity. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for such an example that you've given to us. But my brothers and my sisters, tonight we don't have to look to a building. We don't have to look to a program. We don't have to look to things to deliver us and for things to be the answer to our prayer that only can be temporary. But we can lift our eyes to the Lord from where my help comes from. And my help comes from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. My brother, my sister, don't look at me. Don't look at us like Peter and Apostle John said. Don't look at us. But what I do have, I'm giving to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at Him. Look at Him. He will cause you to live. He will cause you to walk in victory. He will cause you to walk victorious in life. Look at Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the prayer that Jesus was praying. Oh Father, everyone that you had given me, keep them. And everything that belongs to me, belongs to the ones that have accepted me as their personal Savior. Father, we're so grateful. God, I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that you're interceding for me. You're interceding for your people. You're interceding for our brothers and sisters. God, thank you. Thank you. That's often we think that our prayers are going to change everything. But in reality, it's your prayer for us. Oh God, help us that when we come into your presence to be transformed as you prepare us for what is to come. God, I pray that you would help us not to look in places for an answer. Because in the New Testament, we are commanded to look at you. To look at you. Because you are the answer. God, we thank you that you have compassion to those that are broken, filthy, in sin, in addiction. You have compassion. And your hand is stretched towards your people. Oh God, I pray that tonight that you will lift my brothers and my sisters up. Lift them up, oh God. Cover them with your grace and mercy. We need you, Holy Spirit. Would you teach us to pray? Would you teach us to rest in your presence? Would you remind us it's not in the multitudes of words that we say to convince you to do something, but in obedience to your word, when we bow down our will and we say, let your will be done. Help us, oh God. And tonight we're choosing just that. In Jesus' name, I'd like to give an altar call tonight. Whatever where you are, for those that are online and for those here in this sanctuary, would you say, oh God, teach me to pray. Not like the Pharisees that thought in their multitudes of words they will be justified and heard. But teach me to pray and build a relationship with you that maybe it's going to be just a few words. Oh God, help me. But filled with faith to say that you will help me. And I'm reminding you tonight that whatever where you are in life, if your faith is being challenged and you are like Peter, know that Jesus is interceding for you, for your faith not to grow weary. Because the Bible says, when the Lord comes, will he find buildings on the earth, programs, ministries? All no. Will I find faith? And that's why it's so powerful. It's so important for me and to you to fight for this faith. And let me say it this way. It's so important for me and for you to join Jesus to fight for our faith. Unwavering faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our foundation, our Redeemer, who died on a cross, who resurrected on the third day. And he's coming back for you, my brother, my sister. For the church of Jesus Christ, a victorious church. Hallelujah. Not limping, but dancing and shouting. A victorious church. Hallelujah. And if this is you, that you need that reminder, oh God, revive my heart again. Come here to the front, and we'll be praying in a moment after this song. God bless you.